Hello and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to this week's new episode of there's Gamzee back. Here he is back. Oh, I have Kareem joining us as well. Listen, folk, what is up? This is a party. Welcome to this week's new episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special. I'm your host, Mr. Boomstick XL. And my God, do we have a show for you? We got a special guest joining us for the first time. We got some awesome gameplay on there. And my goodness, talk about a great time to be an Xbox gamer. So much freaking news that I actually did not know where to take this show. As a matter of fact, I've already written Tuesday's show. I got Wednesday's show half written. I mean, look, I'm sorry. We're not doing the doom and gloom thing here. If you are and you feel that way, I'm not going to fight you on it. But there is just way too much good information. We got some new quotes, obviously, last week from President Sarah Bond. We know that there's new hardware. We know that there is a bunch of stuff. We know that there's an entire team that's dedicated to game preservation, which is huge. They're one of the few actual platforms that are doing it. Diablo 4, where's the best place to play it? Who's playing it the most? Well, that would be on Xbox, and that's due to a large part to Xbox Game Pass. And just imagine, that's Diablo 4. What do you think is going to happen when Call of Duty gets into Xbox Game Pass? We got a whole story to talk about Call of Duty. It's expected to show up in a big way this June. I mean, listen, we're going to have the next 90 minutes, folks. Strap in. It's going to be great. Let's welcome in our special guest, Kareem Jovian. What's up, dude? It's so good to have you here, brother. How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, thank you, brother. I've watched a lot of your stuff. You do some crazy, funny interviews that you're just man in the streets of New York. You're doing interviews. You're asking crazy questions. I love it. How are you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling great, man. What about yourself?
Good. Not bad. Not bad. I know that you're a big Xbox guy. I know that you enjoy the brand. I know that you've been, you know, consistently on the socials talking about there really shouldn't be any negativity. We're going to get into a lot of that. But there's a lot of big stories we're going to cover here today. So thank you so much for joining us. Welcoming back Gamzee, who took last Monday off, well, to hang out with family, but he's back. Gamzee, how you feeling, brother?
I'm back, baby. I'm feeling great. I'm ready. I got some food in my stomach. I've been playing some DD2 and all that stuff. I'm having a blast in gaming at the moment.
It's good for it's you, pretty, man. Yeah. So you already awesome. Had lunch. Me, I had yep. a granola smoothie bar. Right after I did a 50-minute boxing class, I'm exhausted, but at least I'm full, and I'm, so that's my boring lunch, but glad to have you back here, sir. Crispy yes, Bomb joining us here today because guess what? He can't join us on Friday, and he's going to drop the crispy truth. What's up, brother? How you feeling?
Oh, I'm feeling good. You know, work supersedes all right now. And indeed. Just trying to get that money, but great to see a new face. You know, more welcoming faces at times. Who knows? But we're going to get into it.
Yeah, we absolutely are. We have a lot to cover. And last and no way least, well, the best place for anything and everything in the racing genre. That's Chris. That would be Fuzzy Belvedere. He broke my heart on Friday night show with Mav and the gang, where he said he doesn't think that we're getting Forza Horizon 6 until 2026. Oh my God, I want to rip my mohawk off and throw it on the floor. This is crazy. How you feeling, Fuzzy?
I'm feeling great. Glad to be here with you guys. Yeah, there's so much great stuff on the way here. We got the Hellblade 2 coming up around the corner, showcase in June, new talks of hardware. Yeah, we're gonna have a good show today.
You know, speaking of June, now, normally, I like to keep the things tight to the vest because, you know, you don't want to jinx. People hate on you. They wish you bad and things happen. Well, they can't. Nothing is going to happen because I'm like Teflon Don. Everything just rolls off of me. I will be in L.A. for all of the festivities for whatever it's going to be called. The Games Fest, Summer Games Fest, Fake E3, whatever. I'm going to be boots on the ground for 5 days. Yes, I'm going to spend 5 days there, Thursday to I think I fly out Monday, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So it's 4 days. I'm very much looking forward to that. But you know why I'm excited? Because I'm going to get a chance, number one, to meet Hargeet. The Iron Lords are definitely going to get to hang out with them. There's going to be so many people there. So if you wanted to know whether or not I was going to be in LA for E3, you bet your ass I'm going to be there. I've already booked everything. It's locked, loaded. and ready to rock and roll. I missed, well, I didn't really miss. I didn't try to go to PAX East. This time I'm going all the way. Cannot wait. I've been talking in the back and with Hargeet, and you know, we kind of set everything up. I'm looking forward to it. I'm very excited. But ladies and gentlemen, we got to get into the show here. You know, it's interesting, and I'm going to go first to our special guest, Kareem. Listen, Kareem, that a game came out last year that was very polarizing. A lot of people loved it. Some people beat it 8, 9, 10 times. Some people have, you know, 45 days in this game. They can't get enough of it. Shattered Space is coming out, the DLC. We should get some sort of a trailer this June. Of course, I'm talking about Starfield, one of the most underappreciated games of 2023. I got 5 days and some change in it, and people are just looking at me with their nose up in the air, like, wow, 5 days, boom, you should be ashamed of yourself. And, you know, listen, I beat the game 5 days. I want to run through it again, but I'm holding off for the DLC. Why am I bringing this up, Kareem? Well, thanks to, of course, Insider Gaming. This particular article was written by Grant Taylor Hill. He's one of the journalists for Insider Gaming. That is Tom Henderson's website. And it goes on to say in the opening story, Starfield secured a unique player count record in 2023. And this is where it gets interesting, because there were a lot, Kareem, of single-player games last year. But you know what one game that ruled them all? Well, folks, that would be Starfield. And you know what? You would probably never know that thanks to the gaming media, who is dumped all over this game. According to the report from Newzoo, they went on to say it was made clear that live service titles continue to reign supreme over everything else in the industry on every platform. Mm-hmm. Fortnite boasted the highest MAUs through 2023, followed closely by the likes of Call of Duty, Grand Theft Auto, and of course, Roblox. There were some special mentions for Counter-Strike and League of Legends and Rainbow Six Siege, Apex Legends, and of course, Rocket League. But this is why this game is special, continues to remain special, and a highlight that it is currently and still remains an Xbox and PC exclusive. According to the report, Starfield was a standout example among these lists, which took the data from 37 markets around the world, and it was the only single-player exclusive game to hit the top 10 on a global scale, which was likely thanks to the game launching as a part of Xbox Game Pass in September of 2023. It wound up in eighth place overall, sitting between Rocket League and Apex Legends. Kareem, this is a really big deal. And like I said, if you read some of the highlights and the bylines from some of the gaming media, you would never know this if you were a normie. Let's talk about it. The only single-player game to be in the top 10 across all four platforms, that is something special.
To be honest with you, I'm not even surprised. The game had a lot of hype and it was very, very huge. I mean, it's really what kicked off a lot of my love for what's going on right now with, you know, Xbox's direction, you know. Yep. And I honestly enjoyed the game. I have over 100 hours in it, and I still didn't beat the story because I'm trying to do everything else. I'm very meticulous when I play the game. I like to do all those little, you know, building my house and all that. But so far, I'm really, really happy to hear that, to be honest with you, because the game deserves it.
It does. It certainly garnered a significant amount of distaste. I think a lot of that stemmed from it being an Xbox exclusive. And I think that what we've seen in the gaming media about, you know, the quote unquote Xbox tax, this is a perfect example of a game being taxed and being shunned and shuttered and lower scored just based on the fact that it wasn't on people's preferred platform. Because I've said this before, and I've said it again, Kareem, if this would have been a PlayStation exclusive, everyone, including Jeff Keighley and everyone of all of the big gaming media sites, would have heralded this their game of the year. It's the greatest Bethesda game ever made. This, you know, it's going to have you know, a reach even far beyond anything they've done before. But that wasn't the case. And yep. Based on the way a lot of reviews were written, you can tell that distaste made its way into the review, and they were already 2 points removed from it based on the fact that it was an Xbox exclusive.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely, you know, I'm call, you know, call me conspiracy theorist, whatever you want to call me, but I do believe that there is some sort of tax. I mean, let's be real here. It's evident. It's obvious. With how the media just kind of portrays Microsoft and the Xbox. Of course, they're on the side of like, oh, this is bad. It's all Microsoft's fault that this game is exclusive. But they never say anything when something is exclusive on PlayStation. It gets heralded as something amazing. I feel, honestly, that this is completely true. That it would only do, or I mean, it would still rate higher. Even if it's just 3, 4 points, 5 points. Mm-hmm. Even 1 point, it's still going to rate higher on PlayStation just because it's on PlayStation, where there's, you know, a huge, you know, audience of players who feel that this is, you know, that this is something that should be on their platform, you know. But at the end of the day, I'm still glad Microsoft picked it up, because it was going to be exclusive anyway to PlayStation. It was not going to be on PC. It was not going to be on Xbox. So I believe that it's better at home where at Microsoft. You know, you get to have it play it on PC also. I got it on PC also. I haven't played on PC yet. I've been playing it just on Xbox, but I do believe there is a tax. And yes, yep. I do believe Jeff Keighley probably would have spoke a lot more favorably of it if it was on PlayStation.
Yeah, listen, at the end of the day, it sold very well. It did very well for Game Pass. As a matter of fact, we did learn that when it did launch on Game Pass, that it broke records for subscribers that have never been reached before since its inception in 2017. That was confirmed by Microsoft themselves, that it is a big deal. Gamzee, let's bring you in because...
Oh, yes.
We have here Brian Gelbout. Who says I guess he's assuming that it was because it was 30 frames per second. And that's an interesting. So, Brian, thanks so much for being here, brother. And thank you so much for that, because I actually would have not even thought about having that conversation with Gamzee regarding that. You know, there's a game out right now that is probably taken the world by storm, called Dragon's Dogma 2, running at 30 frames on consoles. And it is widely accepted. It is widely, championed. It's my game of the year already. It's one of the best games I've played in years. Like, you know, we've been very lucky as gamers. You know, obviously we've had Elden Ring. We've had Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom. We have had Starfield. And now this year we have Hogwarts is another one. Tip of the spear for me. And now this year, right, it's already been a banger of a year, and we're only in April. We have Dragon's Dogma 2 running at 30 frames. You don't see anyone driving the negativity towards it because it's 30 frames. And people like Pong Soul and Mav and Steel Rain, who are really enjoying this game, have really good PCs. Well, that's where they're playing it, and they're able to play it in 60, so that they're enjoying it that way. Let's reel this back in and talk about this negativity for Starfield. Turns out that it was the only single-player game across four platforms, that is Nintendo, that is PC, that is PlayStation and Xbox, that made it into the top 10 played games of 2023. That is a really big deal. Let's talk about it, Gamzee.
Well, I mean, first off, I think Nintendo did have some up there, but Nintendo is a special beast, as we know. Third parties aren't there, so all the big games like Valorant and, I don't know, Call of Duty and stuff like that, it's not the same list, right? The only exception in all four platforms that consistently got the top one, and that you could probably do the math that if the other games were on the Nintendo platform, you know, it's Fortnite being number one across all of them. So it if Call of Duty was there, yeah, exactly. So if Call of Duty was there, all the other games that are in the top five were on Nintendo, I'm pretty sure Nintendo's, you know, first party, you know, stuff would drop a little bit. So yeah, it's really impressive on all accounts, regardless that Starfield made that list, because I mean, it it's standing with giants, you know? So I'm not surprised. Look, I've said it multiple times. Bethesda, with a mix of other things like Activision games popping up and having the marketing, was a big part of why 360 was such a juggernaut. Bethesda, their relationship with Bethesda really pushed them forward in a lot of ways in the first place, and now they're under the same wing. So I'm not surprised that Bethesda did well here. It has a giant following. Everybody knows what Bethesda games are. It's just not surprising. It never was. Did it hit the way some people wanted it to hit? Would it have been even bigger if it hit the way people wanted it to hit? Probably, but as it stands now, I'm still impressed by the numbers. There's nothing else to say. It's all positive stuff. Good for them, good for Bethesda for weathering the negativity storm, and good for Xbox for having something to gloat about and be happy about. And
absolutely. Xbox and gamers, you know what? Let me correct with myself. It. Because you are correct. The story that was reporting was 37 platform markets, 37 markets, not counting Nintendo. So we're talking about PC,
okay, yes,
PlayStation, and Xbox. I had the report in front of me. Pardon me, folks, for reading it the wrong way. Switch did have a lot of first-party stuff there. Mario Brothers Wonder was 3. Legend of Zelda's Tears of the Kingdom was 2. Mm-hmm. Fortnite was 1. Mario Kart, mm-hmm, unsurprising, was 4. Minecraft, 5. Pokemon Scarlet Violet, 6. Fall Guys, 7. Well, Fall Guys, I'm shocked for there. Animal Crossing, wow, that's another old one, 8. Hogwarts Legacy made their top 10 at 9. And Super Smash Bros. Ultimate at 10. So again, when I get it wrong, I got to come front phrasing and be like, what they were talking about in that report was the 37 markets that included Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. So thank you for the correction there, brother.
Yeah, it's all good. It's not no big deal. But like, as I've said, if Nintendo did have those third parties in there, it might muddy those numbers a little bit more. But grats on Nintendo. I think they're one of the only ones that could get away with stuff like that and have it still in their games still in the top 5 or 4. All around good stuff by Bethesda. I'm glad for them. As I said, glad for Xbox, pushing through that storm of BS. With the things under the wing boom, like, if you look at all the consoles, everything, all the data, what's on those top 5s and 10s? A lot of Xbox-owned IP as well. So, Call of Duty's gonna be massive, for Xbox, and, I don't know why everybody's been doom and gloom about them when they're on the top of the charts. I mean, they have all these ridiculous loyal fan bases underneath them, and I just don't get the hate.
Yeah, you know what? It's still a mystery to me. I've seen it over the weekend. A lot of disenchanted Xbox gamers. I think there was a lot, I'll be honest with you, a lot of disingenuous takes, to be quite honest with you. And again, we don't name names here because we don't, first of all, we don't do drama, and we don't do hate-based content. If people have that opinion, by all means have the opinion. I certainly do not agree with that because there is a lot to get excited about just based on this weekend. How many good positive stories for Xbox did come on the weekend, no less, just one after another. And shout out to Jez Corden. I know he got a lot of flack from like the report, that opinion piece he did. We talked about it on Friday's Breakfast of Boom. Listen, it's his opinion. I agreed with most of it. I have a few things, some pushback, but you know what? That's fine. We're not going to agree on everything, especially when it talks about getting, the more things onto the platform in the form of potentially Steam and the Epic Games Store. I'm all for that. Based on his opinion, he didn't think that he didn't like that. That's fine. We're not going to agree on everything, but he had two stellar follow-up stories. And if you're not following Jez Corden, folks, you're doing it wrong. He is, in my opinion, tip of the spear when it comes to journalistic integrity. And I do like the way he writes. And I'm hoping to run into him this June. Fuzzy Belvedere, I want to bring you in on the conversation. But first, let me catch up on Super Chats here. Adidas 20-0 drops an outstanding $10 Super Chat. And he says, June 9th, 2024. And all he has is a ton of Gears skulls. Indeed. And of course, Crispy will appreciate that because, he has one in his tag as well. We also have Sith Lord drop a very generous $2 super chat. Say boom. Happy Eclipse Day. Are you excited for it? Listen, after the earthquake we had live on the air for Breakfast at Boom, man, the eclipse happens, I think it's 2 o'clock here. I'm just afraid that vampires are going to come out. Maybe we don't see the sun again. I don't know. It's
no, the world's going to transform into Redfall.
It might be a Redfall situation, folks.
Do you know that earthquakes usually supersede where eclipse happens?
I saw a report on that. I was like, you know, I don't know, because I like science and everything, but I was talking to somebody today and they're like, yeah, there might have been one to go with the other. Listen, this world is acting very, very strange. But we're gonna have the eclipse, so don't look at it, folks, unless you have the proper glasses, and make sure they're the proper glasses. Last thing you want to do is go blind. But look, Fuzzy, let's reel this back in and let's continue the talk on Starfield, a game that you played, and if I'm not mistaken, you were running multiple builds, multiple saves, multiple games. Yeah. I don't know how your head didn't explode. Let's talk about it. again, the only out of the three major players, PC, Xbox, and PlayStation, through 37 markets, this new report has come to the conclusion that only one single player game made the top 10. That was Starfield. That's a big deal.
Yeah. I mean, whether people want to admit it or not, there was a lot of people that played that game and enjoyed it, but maybe secretly hated it for a number of different reasons. And were there, criticisms to be had for the game? Sure. But yeah. I think all in all, it was what a lot of people wanted, or close enough to the point where a lot of people would want a modern day Mass Effect. A lot of people would want like a modern day rendition of, like, whether it be a Star Wars like game without it being a Star Wars IP, or Star Trek, or whatever you want to point to as far as a space related sci-fi game. This had all the elements of it. And if you're a sci-fi nut like me, you would have put a lot of hours into it. Sure, people complained about loading screens. Sure, people complained about, oh, well, it's not a completely seamless open world. And that's fine as far as the criticisms are concerned. But if you focus just on those as opposed to all of the other things that make that game special, whether it's the persistent world where, hey, you could drop gear here on this planet and then 2 weeks later come back to that same planet and find that gear in that same exact spot. Those are things that you don't usually find in most games. Most of the time, a dead body or a particular piece of loot might just disappear after, you turn around kind of deal, or after a certain amount of time, it kind of clears the cache kind of deal. But, in the grand scheme of things, it's amazing to me that game received the amount of hate that it did. Although it was to kind of be expected, considering it was an Xbox exclusive. I mean, had it been still a multiplat, I don't think it would have received anywhere near the criticism. It did get a lot of, nines and tens, but it seemed like some of the bigger outlets were, destined to, point out, oh, it's only a 7 out of 10, but then keep on reminding you week after week that it's a 7 out of 10, when any other game that I've ever seen in the past 10, 15 years, they review it once, and that's the last time you hear about them, bringing it up, unless there's a sequel to that game. I don't remember anybody really saying, oh, well, we scored Assassin's Creed Odyssey, a 9, a month later, and then 2 months later, or even when Valhalla came out, I don't think they even brought up how they scored Odyssey. So it was just weird to me that you had certain news outlets, constantly try to nitpick or get their point across that they didn't enjoy the game because it wasn't, in their vision, the game of the generation for whatever, predetermined ideals they had for that. But aside from that, I mean, I would have expected maybe Spider-Man to appear on there, but that kind of goes to show you that it didn't. And I won't say that it didn't have the staying power, but it is a smaller experience. Yes, it has, more, open world as far as like for New York compared to the previous Spider-Man. But there isn't as much that you can extend out and have in replayability once you beat the main story.
Right.
When it comes to Starfield, you had New Game Plus. I mean, you don't even have to complete the story. You could just live your life as, you know, a space pirate if you want and continue doing that, or a space cop and continue doing that and not even really touch the main, you know, forks of the story that entire time and have a good time doing so. You could just, you know, imagine that you're Buck Rogers and going into space battles constantly and not have to do any planetary exploration or anything. So there's so many things that that game offers to you in that one, you know, unique RPG package that only Bethesda can deliver. And to have it make the top 10, you know, across all those markets should show that, you know, that game in itself was a lot more special than people try to deny it that it was. And this is all before the official, you know, modded community gets a hold of it. Sure, there are mods out there now, but once the tools are out there, it's going to be above and beyond what we even expect. Plus, there's the DLC that's, you know, on the near horizon here. So that's going to probably bring a lot of those players back. So I don't know. It was just a weird thing for, you know, people to say, oh, well, the player base fell off. It's a single player game. I don't recall anybody ever looking at another single player game's, you know, player count in comparison, you know, months later, but, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's great to see that that title made it. It would have been nice if other single player titles made it, because then that would show that there is still, you know, a market for single player games. I mean, there's still a market. It's just that it's not anywhere near as big as we would like to imagine it, considering, you know, the juggernauts that was on everybody's list, which was Fortnite, Call of Duty being on those same main three, obviously not being on the Nintendo one for reasons. But, you know, all of those free-to-play games, all of those big multiplayer games had a strong showing. And for a game that came out of the box, I can't even remember what it was, because I got it for under $60 when it came out. But I think it was a $70 game at the time of launch. And for it to make that list is a strong showing in and of itself. So,
yeah, no, I agree. I mean, if you look at, like I said, for instance, let's just talk about PlayStation. What were PlayStation's top 10 games? Fortnite at 1, Grand Theft Auto at 2, Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2, 3, and Warzone, number 3, EA Sports, FC 24, Roblox, Rocket League, Minecraft, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six, Siege, Apex Legends, Fall Guys, right?
Siege still? What Siege, the Siege, hell?
Yeah, yeah. Number 8. Yeah, believe it or not. Actually, it's better. It does better on Xbox. Let's get to the PC. What were the top 10 games in the 37 markets that were counted? Fortnite, number 1. Roblox, 2. Minecraft, number 3. Counter-Strike 2 and Go. The Sims 4. Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, 3 in Warzone, League of Legends, Valorant, Grand Theft Auto 5, and Rocket League. Now, on Xbox, it went like this. Fortnite, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2, 3 in Warzone 2.0, Grand Theft Auto 5, Minecraft, Roblox, Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege at 6, Rocket League, Starfield, Apex Legends, and FIFA 23.
Yeah.
Crazy,
yeah,
right?
If I could just cut in for a single second.
Sure,
and
absolutely.
If you looked at the showcase, I think 2 years ago, I don't know when they made that Riot contract, but if you follow Xbox very seriously and you look at their patterns, you can see what they're going after and you can see where they know players are. League of Legends, Valorant, they make a partnership. They have Minecraft, which is in the top freaking 10 of everywhere. They get Call of Duty. They're going after the junk food pieces. Like, they really are going for longevity and revenue and a healthy revenue stream so they could grow themselves. I mean, it's always been in the cards, and Xbox, if you look at these lists, are pretty set up for multiple years to come, and I just don't see how we don't see that. Even, you know, the thing that pops out the most and what can be discourse here is, like, look at The Sims 4, right? The Sims 4 is the top 5 in PC gaming, and everybody doesn't talk about Sims 4, but the reality is games like these are gigantic. Probably bigger than most first-party games anywhere on any platform. And we don't hear about Sims 4, do we? And we always ask the same question. Why the hell is Sims 4 even at showcases anymore? Or, like, around PC showcases anymore? Well, this is why. People are playing them. Get with the times.
Yeah, I mean, listen, all of these games that you hear, they're making money. A lot of them are all most of them are service games.
They're making
tons of money.
One quick thing I'd like to add as well. Sure. If you look at PlayStation, they just got Roadblocks, and that already climbed up to 5. Within a year's time, it climbed up past all of those other titles. So that's, you know, a feat in itself. And then if you look at Xbox, we still have FIFA 23 charting as opposed to 24. Considering it's already in Game Pass with ePlay, that goes to show that there's probably a lot of a larger fan base that own Xboxes that are also subscribed to Ultimate, which is kind of what we believe to begin with. But that's the only way I could see 23 doing better than, you know, EA FC, you know, 24. So it goes to show that, you know, and Grand Theft Auto was another one that was also in Game Pass for an extended period of time. I think it might be back in there as well. So that also charting. I think Tom Clancy is also another one that is bounced in and out of Game Pass. So it looks like with Xbox, you're not only getting game player or players that are playing a lot more of the same popular titles, but you're also getting the benefit, if you're a subscriber to Game Pass, access to a lot of those and probably even perks for those as well. So it's real telling.
Indeed it is. Crispy Bomb, let's bring you in on the conversation. Again, if you just do a quick glance at the way the media covered Starfield, you'd think it was a failure. You'd think that nobody played this game. You'd think it'd be a buggy mess. You think it'd be not, it wouldn't be considered one of the best things to come out of Bethesda in a decade, right? But the numbers don't lie. The only single player story-driven title come out be in the top 10. But when you, and again, we're talking monster platforms, PlayStation, monster platform, PC, behemoth, and Xbox. Xbox is no slouch. And it came in at number 8 on Xbox, the only single player game to make this list. This is a big deal. I think it really does shut down the negative narrative that this game was a flop.
I mean, let's be honest here. Where's Spider-Man 2 at for PlayStation?
You know what? I think he is stopping a robbery on 35th and 8th, to be honest with you. No,
Don't do this.
Boom's from New York. He can say that. All right.
He's not winning another award at the Game Awards.
All right.
Yes.
Man. Oh, no. We're getting dirty.
He came out of left field and threw a haymaker.
Okay. All right. We're getting messy here, and I love the messiness. Boom knows it. I love it. But the fact is that Starfield is on another level than Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Now, Spider-Man might have the story-driven narrative visuals that some of these PlayStation gamers absolutely go ham for, but apparently don't buy the game. I don't know. You got Starfield. Starfield, okay. People be like, oh, Spider-Man 2 didn't release on a PC. Okay.
Or a Game Pass.
Doesn't mean I have to download it if I have Game Pass, right? Do you have that? Oh, wait, you don't have that option. I'm sorry that you don't have that option, that you have to pay $70 and I just subscribe to Game Pass and play a game. I'm sorry for that. There's nothing I can do for you. You have to realize that there's also a lot of elements involved in the game. And I'm only maybe four hours. Played the game. Went from being and doing everything that I'm supposed to do to saying, okay, I'm going to go to the moon and then I'm going to go to Earth because I want to see what that's about. And I'll tell you right now, don't go to Earth. Just don't. It's a train wreck. You're not going to look. There's nothing there.
there's NASA.
In that game.
There's NASA, Crispy.
There's nothing there. There's nothing there. Okay, nothing that you haven't ever seen before. All right, but the way the story was brought out, and then I go into, you know, why Earth became nothing is why I went there. I wanted to see it. And that is an option that you just don't have in many other games. And that's where people get a little like, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to be. Be yourself. That's the whole point of Bethesda game. I still haven't beat Fallout 4 technically. Do I have like level, you know, like almost like 40 and all these other things? Sure. But I've chosen as myself not to beat the game because I want to experience everything it has to offer. And that's where I look at Starfield and I say, yeah, I only played 4 hours because I know that if I get into everything that it has within its realm, I will never stop. And I'll always come back to it. Oh, wait, I could always go back to it because I have Game Pass. I mean, this is the problem. This is the problem that Sony has. Sony doesn't know how to compete with a gaming company that says, you know what, we're going to be Netflix and we're going to give you whatever you want or give you options to whatever you want through a period of time. And people don't understand it. I understand it because I was a Blockbuster kid. I understood buying, you know, buying, that's what they would call it now, buying a game, even though I'm renting a game. And then all of a sudden, it envelops me, and then I rent it again, and I rent it again. But I that was actually more money, even back then, than what I'm paying now. So I look at everything that Xbox offers to us, and I say, well, how is it in, like, you know, the single-player engagement? How is that possible? Well, it's PC. Let's be honest. That's a part of it. See, everybody looks at Hellblade at 30 FPS. It's not going to be 30 FPS on PC. We all know this. You could sit here and tell me that I'm wrong. By all means, guarantee it's not going to be. Okay? Because they're going to release it on PC, and it's probably going to be whatever resolution and whatever frame rate you want. Okay. And then we look at Starfield, same instance, correct? Heard people playing it on crazy FPS. But when it comes to a console, you have to realize you purchased that console. It is not a PC. It doesn't have this dynamicness. But let's say you get a trash PC. You get like, you know, like an i5 with a, you know, whatever the heck you want to put memory and everything else. You go old school. Well, technically the game could play. It's going to be like playing on a Series S might actually be better. But why do people hate on something that gives you options? Because they have to. They have no choice. I mean, Spider-Man 2. Not on a PC. Xbox is like, hey, we're going to have a PC version for games. What are we talking about here? It's up to you as a consumer to purchase said product. It's not up to me. It's not up to me to convince you. My Series X runs fine. I can play Starfield. I can go back to Fallout 4. I can play Mortal Kombat, Gears 5, which... I mean, my boy King David, yo, like, dude, you want to come play some multiplayer? I'll teach you how to play it. Like, come on, man. You know what I mean? Like, you got to realize that we have options that we've never had. And some of you that are too young to understand, listen to me. Blockbuster was an option back in the day. I could rent a console, for the love of God. I could rent a original Xbox. I could rent a PS2. I could rent an N64. Okay? Yep. We have options that are digital now. And you make your choice. And that is up to you. If you don't want... Look, all I have is a console and a laptop that I do these podcasts with. That's it. But I've always said, I don't hate PC. I understand it. because I've been a PC gamer, but it's also much easier probably than I even realize. I just don't have the time to put into it. And that's where a Starfield might have as much gravitas to the PC gamer as much as Xbox. You know what I mean? You just might not see it. And it's including in what you said earlier, Boom. You know, Xbox, it's in the top 10. PC, it's not. Because people go to where their friends play, where they want to play. But that doesn't mean the game has done nothing on PC. If anything, it has opened people's minds. Because if you look at it and you say, okay, all these media outlets say, no, there's nothing to be seen, but all of a sudden we see this. You say, well, wait a second. How is your correlation to what you think is logical is against mine and my experience? How does that correlate? How do I look at you and say, oh, this is where I need to read articles and see what the gamers think, but my experience is different? And I think that's what's happened with Starfield. I think they have gone through the trials and tribulations, some of them warranted, some of them absolutely not, and they've continued to push forward.
Well, I will say this, Crispy. Being the only single-player game across three monster platforms to be in the top 10 is, I think, proof enough that the game did a lot. There were a lot of monster, I mean, like super huge single-player games, one of which that surprised the hell out of me that isn't on there, Hogwarts Legacy. Like, Hogwarts, what an amazing
experience. You're canceled, Boom.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there was that. Yeah, that's true, but it was still phenomenal.
But what do we always say? Negative news can be positive news in the end of the day, because we're talking about games. We're not talking about all the other BS that's involved with them. When gamers actually look at a game, they say, is this good or not? And I'm going to tell you right now, I will go back to Starfield. It's just on my time. Sorry, it's not on your time. I don't care. Okay, it's on when I feel it's necessary. All right, and that's what people need to realize. It's not about all this other BS. It's about what you think. And a lot of people have ignored that. Okay, you can agree with somebody, but to go to the point where you're saying the same things that I say and say I barely played the game, which I did, but then disagree.
That's not even the question, Chris. I wouldn't even bother bringing that up. Listen, you played it for 4 hours and you'll get back to eventually. Listen, it is what it is, brother. You don't have to give people an explanation to how you play your games. I am going to say, though, in closing out the topic, because I do want to get to the big one. And Kareem, I'm using one of your personal tweets as one that we're going to talk about in a second, because if this happens, folks, if what Kareem is putting out there actually happens, and again, this is the kind of rumor mill kind of a thing, so take it with a super grain of salt. We're going to get into that in a hot second. But look, Starfield is an amazing game. Starfield, no matter how long you played it, whether you played it for 4 hours, 100 hours, or 42 days, it was an experience that continues to give back. A perfect example of seeing it in the top 10 of in a field littered with games as a service. It is a testament to how special this game is. People are going to be talking about this game 10 years from now, just like they've been talking about Skyrim. Real quick, a quick gameplay drops a very generous $5 super chat and says, does Microsoft announce an acquisition at the summer showcase? Maybe. Square Enix is my guess, it seems, to check all the boxes. And you know something? Let's bring up Kareem Jovian's tweet from the other day. And he simply says this, Kareem, I love it. If it's true that Phil Spencer is trying to work out a deal or acquisition of Square Enix, then I believe this is going to be the greatest thing for gamers. Square Enix needs a lot of support because their games are amazing. It's also It will also end the stranglehold exclusivity that Sony continues to enact on third-party publishers. With Microsoft at the helm, Square Enix games will come out on every platform with PC day and date. Microsoft is doing more than saving Xbox. It's also saving gaming. And again, folks, I saw this kind of floating around. Now, again, please, for the love of Joe, take this with a grain of salt. But it seems only the next move. They want a Japanese publisher. Square Enix is dying on the vine. Let's call a spade here, Kareem. They have really taken it on the chin thanks to Sony, because check it out. I mean, the numbers don't lie. I know people, a lot of people enjoyed Final Fantasy 16, but as many Square Enix games before it, it did not hit the sales numbers that they were looking for. Why? Because it's not on Xbox, and it's not on PC, and it's certainly not on Switch. It's on PlayStation. And PlayStation gamers, as we know, they just don't buy games. That is an absolute fact. Unless it's Call of Duty, unless it's, you know, one of the norms, like a WWE or you know, a Take-Two basketball, you'll get the occasional Spider-Man in there. You might get a God of War, people to buy that. But for the most part, they stay to what they like. If this happens, I think that it would be good for the industry. I think it'd be great for Xbox. I think that we'd get these games into Xbox Game Pass day and date. And I think it would move the needle forward in establishing Xbox as a brand in Japan. That is a big deal. And this is, again, folks, I'm kind of trying to play detective here. They get Square Enix. They launch their handheld, and people in the Asian region who have moved on from consoles, who like mobile, who like handheld games and consoles, this is how you sell them on this hardware. You put games like Persona, you put games like this, you put some of the Capcom games, you can play those games on this handheld. It would be a giant push into that market. I think it'd be a little salty for a lot of the PlayStation players who might be, you know, crying, and the tears might drown us. I don't know. But Kareem, what when you put this tweet out here, were you honestly thinking that this is the next move for Xbox and more specifically Microsoft?
I don't think it's the next move, but I do feel they are working on something like that. That's why I would tweet something like that, because I've heard so much about people talking about that Microsoft is trying to, you know, grow their market in the Japanese market. And also at the same time, they're trying to get, let's be honest here, Final Fantasy Remake and the Final Fantasy Rebirth games, they're really big JRPGs, you know, yep, and very highly anticipated RPGs. And for Xbox to miss out on that, it's pretty huge. So we saw it in the Tokyo game event with I forget his name, Yoshi P and Phil Spencer, all shaking hands on stage.
A big deal. That's one of those moments in gaming that just broke the internet. That was a big deal. Big deal.
It's huge, huge. The announcement of Final Fantasy 14, which is great. I know people are like, oh, it's late, but still, better late than never, right? That was one big moment. Another huge moment was when Square Enix made a surprise show at the developers' conference. This is just for Xbox developers, and for them to show up at that developer direct was another big, huge move by Microsoft to show that they're not probably going to acquire Square Enix, because I do hear that everyone's saying that, I mean, not everyone, but a lot of people say that you can't buy a Japanese company. I don't think that's true, because, you know, I think Tango got bought by ZeniMax, and Tango was a Japanese company. So it is possible. But what I see happening is something similar to Sega. I know some people are like, well, why not just go for Sega instead of Square Enix? Well, because they have an amazing relationship with Sega right now. You're getting we got Persona 3 Reloaded, which is I love JRPGs and RPGs, as some might know. So for me, I love Square Enix. Very nostalgic for me growing up. So to see their games like Persona 3 Reload just day and date on Game Pass, that was huge. That was huge for someone like me to have something like that on the platform. So they're really doing great with Sega there. We have all the Yakuza, Like a Dragon. Well, not all of them, but maybe 90% of those games are on Game Pass. They have not removed off of Game Pass. They're still on Game Pass, which is pretty much like a first party or second party deal with Sega, if you want to look at it that way, where they have this relationship of their games on Game Pass. Like a Dragon 8 Infinite could have came on Game Pass if it weren't for Sega saying no, because they want to just try something out and see how the sales will be. So they did a little test with Persona 3 Reloaded, which came out on Game Pass, and Infinite Wealth, which came out just not on Game Pass, but on everything else. And they both did amazingly well. Yes, Persona 3 Reload still managed to sell over 1 million copies, and it's on Game Pass. So that whole story of if it's on Game Pass, it's going to die is not really true if the game is great, you know? So I'm still going to buy Persona 3 Reloaded, but I'm playing it on Game Pass right now. So it's I think they're going to pull something off like they're doing with Sega. They're going to have a good, healthy relationship with Square Enix. Square Enix needs it. They have seen what happened with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. There's a reason why they haven't told us the sales numbers for that. I remember when Final Fantasy VII Remake was out, the sales number came out within 2 weeks. We found out right away because it was a huge success. So they're still waiting on, I don't know why, maybe we're never going to know about the sales with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, but I think it's going to be a huge step for Microsoft. If they're going to acquire them, that is something that is huge. But I truly do believe there's a deal being worked out, and it's going to be a good one that's going to help a lot of gamers, especially Xbox gamers and Game Pass fans. And I'm looking forward to it. I think they're going to do something similar to Sega.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, obviously do a partnership deal where they do get more titles in there. I mean, they have the next Mana game coming into Xbox Game Pass. There's never been a Mana game, at least from what I understand, on an Xbox. That's a huge deal. You know, maybe they do something like, obviously you're a fan of Persona 3 from Reloaded. They did add that DLC in the perks for Xbox Game Pass, where you just downloaded it and there's a season pass or whatever it was that was in there.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. That was a big one. Yes. That was like a very expensive season pass, and we got it for free. If you have a Game Pass Ultimate.
Yeah. Good stuff, man. Listen, Gamzee, you know, look, yes, we have no idea whether or not this is going to happen, but boy, oh boy, if it did, obviously there is a deal that, you know, we keep hearing about Final Fantasy VII eventually making it to Xbox. From what we hear, the rumor is that it can't drop on Xbox Game Pass until the trilogy is officially completed and out on PlayStation. We don't know. I mean, we are expecting Final Fantasy 16 to hit PC this year. I don't know if they're going to be able to get it over to Xbox. We'll see if that actually happens. Again, this is just it's just rumor mill talk. They are still going to do a bunch of acquisitions. We did hear that they're all in on gaming. This would be a Japanese publisher. It's a big one. Personally, for me, I'm Team Sega, but Kareem made a great point about, you know, they have such an amazing relationship with Sega. They don't necessarily need to acquire them. They've already signed that deal for the big AAA or the quadruple A types of games, the super games as they're being called. So there's going to be a lot happening with Sega. But your thoughts, what would be the ramifications of Microsoft acquiring Square Enix?
Well, first things first, it's not rocket science. You don't buy Square Enix. Square Enix is not going to be bought. Square Enix wants growth. You don't get that growth on one single platform. You do, like I've said in multiple areas, if, let's say, Sony bought Square by growth, you know, you do get slow growth if you're like a third party or a specific developer. You will get small growth being on the biggest platform, but Square knows that real growth over time comes from how many units you're on. That's probably, if you add PC, obviously your number grows. They were on PS4 before, which had a larger fan base than it did now when they sold the same, you know, sold the last game. So that equaled more growth for Square Enix, you know, more buyers, whatever. It came out on PC. We have all those numbers. They know with the new regime, hey, we're not safe on one platform. So that's why they're not going to even want to get purchased. We need to be everywhere. And that's how true growth and growing of your community begins. You want to be on Switch 2. You want to be on PC. You want some sort of access to your games on normal Switch. You want Xbox. You want Game Pass. You want PC. That's just how things work. It's not crazy. And I've kept saying, you know, with under the new regime, these guys want to make money. These guys want to take that older fan base that's growing out of them, and they want to find new fan bases, and to do that is to teach consistency and to be invisibility, which is everywhere all at once. I don't know what's hard to understand about that, but Square Enix wants to be everywhere, and this is a perfect time, because I would guess that contracts are expiring, and that's why we're hearing rumblings, and Xbox is putting their foot in the door very aggressively. So is Nintendo in the background, I'm very certain of it. And we're gonna see Square Enix games go everywhere. That's just what's gonna happen. They need to grow. And without those other platforms, they're gonna dwindle and dwindle. Because as we see on the numbers, it's going down. Or it's stagnated. And that's not what you want to see as one of the biggest IPs ever made. You've lost the Japanese market, almost half of them, because they're on Switch. So... Yep. Get on Switch, you know, get everywhere you can. Switch 2 is going to be able to play your Final Fantasy 7 remakes and stuff. Get there, do that thing. Square, what are you doing? Don't be dumb. Xbox, I agree, they're going to just make a partnership. It's going to be a Sega thing. They're going to get their games on their platform, and a lot of them on Game Pass, I agree with that. But there's no purchase here. It's just not going to happen. Unless it's with... No, I don't see it happening. I don't see regulators letting it happen. I don't see any of that. I don't even think Xbox cares. They know they want to grow, so Square Enix will be on their system whether they like it or not. Because yeah, I mean, as we see in five years to 10 years, Xbox is going to be a platform you don't want to bid against anymore. And I think every third-party Japanese company sees that. Sega, Capcom, they all see it. They see why skip out on this beast of a platform for longer. Anyways.
No, I mean, it's great. Great points all around, brother. Great points all around. Fuzzy, let's bring you in on the conversation, brother. Look, this is again, I think for the console warriors, this would be the gut punch, if you will. I don't think that ultimately, I think both Kareem and Gamsley make a great point about the partnership, but it makes you wonder if Square, the fact that they're not doing great, right? Obviously, you know, they sold off a couple of their American companies early on for peanuts. It was unbelievable. And all the IP that went with it, it's just unbelievable how much IP went with them.
Yeah, it was like 300 million.
Yeah, 300 million, which is not a lot, to be honest with you.
It's a steal.
when you consider, you know, Tomb Raider, who consider all of the IPs they got, it's just crazy. But with that said, again, you know, they are not doing financially the greatest. This would be, I think that this is one of those moves that, you know, we talk about, we joke about, we kind of, you know, just, oh, you know, maybe the signs are on the writings on the wall, maybe they're not. And, you know, obviously, rather than buy them, they could partner with them. I don't think they're going to make anything exclusive. I think that the days of Square Enix outside of what they already are contracted to Sony, you're not going to see exclusives anymore. I think that they're stuck in these contracts, and unfortunately, they can't get out of them unless they're going to lose more money. So the contracts are done. I don't see these contracts being renewed in any way. But what if the Fuzzy, they did try to acquire? Because if you think about it, in Japan, what does the Xbox have in market share? I think it's 2%. It's that. So minuscule, it's laughable. So Japanese regulators would be like, well, this actually is not, you know, they're not breaking any laws. They're not, you know, they don't have to. Now, here's the thing. If Sony tried to acquire Square Enix, that might be an issue because, well, Sony has about 90 something percent of the market there, right? And they're just their market share is ridiculous. What are your thoughts on this, man?
I on the other hand, think that it's going to be more than a partnership, because there's one key element to Square Enix that a lot of people overlook that Microsoft is looking to dive head first into, and that's the mobile market. They are the leaders of, as far as when it comes to Japanese studios, when it comes to mobile games, they are number one in that segment. So that would make them more of a target as far as for acquisition, especially considering, you know, Microsoft is really drooling at the mouth as far as trying to get into the Apple or Google Android, you know, storefronts, or at least have their own storefronts on those hardware and stuff. But I personally would rather see Sega acquired. I know that they're in a pretty stout partnership right now. They could do the same with Square, but I think the acquisition would make more sense in the long term, just for the mobile content, as well as the fact that they could probably buy it for pennies on the dollar just before it rebounds. Like, the biggest mistake that they've made, or maybe it was just a matter of timing, they were at the desk for buying Capcom twice, I believe, and would have done it had it not been for their remakes actually making them money. Like, after what was it, Street Fighter V and Dead Rising 4 didn't do so well, Capcom was not, they were basically in Square's shoes at the time, and they were almost ready to sign, and they had already had a few projects greenlit that they wanted to kind of wait out. And sure enough, Resident Evil being remade definitely helped them. So That's the one that got away for Microsoft in general. But I think with Square, I think it's going to take more investment to get them to do that rebound. And Microsoft might be willing to do it because they know on the back end of things, they'll be able to make that money back, you know, tenfold with the revitalization of like the Final Fantasy franchise. Plus, at that point, any existing contracts they can break and, you know, pay Sony what they deem is a you know, fair market value for closing of that contract for exclusivity. They can, you know, end that sooner than later without having to worry about it as much. So I think acquisition is more on the store or more on the front. It's just a matter of they're going to go for pennies on the dollar. Like, if I'm not mistaken, they were hovering somewhere around in US dollars between 4 and 6 billion. I think it's even less now. So if they could pick them up, like, considering how much Phil undercut Bobby Kotick and ABK, I would say if the price drops down to 500 mil or 600 mil is reasonable to get the shareholders to not, you know, jump ship kind of thing, you know, and they would be willing to accept that. I think that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to go for under $1 billion US if they can, because the alternative would be more than likely Square would have to start selling off IPs or closing studios or something to that effect. And I don't think they want
to
do that.
Can I push back, Fuzzy, for a second? Like, what do you think they'll have to do to actually get this done? So in my head, to get this done, you'd probably, well, they're already pushing a narrative that they're kind of a third-party-ish publisher already. So maybe that's also them setting up something. But do you think Nintendo, at the end of the day, which is a bigger problem, and Sony don't go to regulators and say, hey, no? You know, like, what do you think they do to push that over the gate?
I think Sony might initially.
Nintendo is the problem.
How they got their.
Nintendo's
their,
a problem.
Well, no, Nintendo won't be as much of a problem because they know in the short term, Microsoft would be more willing to work with them to get those things back on there. They already have the thing for Call of Duty. It would be easy enough for them to go back to regulators if Microsoft isn't playing ball with Final Fantasy. I think Nintendo would stand a stronger chance of seeing those Final Fantasy titles, the more recent ones, making it onto the Switch 2 under a Microsoft ownership. Had them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't think Nintendo would be as much of a curmudgeon as far as the deal going through. Sony might, but then again, all they have to do is look back several months to the ABK deal and how that was probably not their smartest move. They dragged things out to the point where they got a less of a deal than what they were probably initially offered at the table. Plus, in that region, considering their market share and the pushback that some of the regulators in Japan got when it came to this, when they started questioning things, I think Sony would have a harder path as far as trying to counter it. I think Microsoft now with this more of this third party aura about them, at least when it comes to ABK and possibly doing that with Square, I think they would have an easier time. Like now would be the better time as opposed to waiting a year or two in the grand scheme of things. Cause I think there's still enough energy for them to kind of cash in with the Japanese regulators to be able to get this to go through. But a year or two from now, Square might get back on their feet. A year or two from now, Nintendo might take even more market share from Sony and make things even more, you know, upside down at that point.
But you think, because right now, even if Microsoft is doing something a little different, they are still a threat of squeezing the other two. You think Nintendo looks at that and says, well, in the long term, if Microsoft owns what we need, right? Well, because Square is gigantic to them.
Yeah.
Not besides Final Fantasy. I'm talking about everything. Mm-hmm. You think they don't look at that and be like, well, why would we kind of let this happen when they're in, like, why would we let them in the backyard forever and always have to deal with them and always have to do this and always have to do that? And they're a leading platform in like 10 years. Like what happens
to Nintendo? My pushback to your, well, it's not really pushback. It's an answer to your question, Gamzee. Why would Nintendo allow this to happen? Because Nintendo is already seeing what Sony is doing with them, with Square Enix. And that couldn't.
Yeah, of course, but they. Yeah, of course, but I mean, up until now, I mean, the power thing is a problem for Square, regardless. Even if that, like, whatever, for the other content though, the power thing is not a problem. Like for all the little games that do sell well, that Square Enix does put on their platform, et cetera, Sony's not very aggressive on, so Nintendo basically gets to eat, and Square also gets to decide all the stuff. Right? It's like, oh well, why neglect Nintendo when we're giving you all this stuff, right? But if they're under another platform that is Microsoft that can kind of pinch at one point, it's like,
I think they offer a deal, like, the, hey, we're going to sign a 10-year deal. That's what we're giving you, a 10-year deal.
Okay, the deals. I get it.
You know, the same way they did with Activision Blizzard King with them. Say, hey, listen, if we finish acquiring Activision Blizzard King, we're going to put Call of Duty for the first time on Nintendo, whatever, whether Switch 1 or Switch 2, you guys are getting Call of Duty. Here's a 10-year deal. They were more than happy to sign that because the last time I think they had a Call of Duty game was like the Wii U, if I'm not mistaken. It's been a while.
Mm-hmm. It would either be between the deals or like what sometimes happens with other publishers within that region. Sega would be the third party where just like for Activision games with Ubisoft, Sega could possibly be that go-to where Nintendo would only have to deal with Sega, who Sega is not going to say no to them. They already have a good relationship with a lot of classic Sega games on their online service. So that would be something that they would designate as a third party. So there's ways where it would work better in Nintendo's favor. It's still a hard thing for Sony, but Sony's going to have a hard time pushing back. But I think Nintendo's, their bigger fear nowadays would probably be that handheld, just because that's more of their backyard that they're eating very, very well in.
Yeah, and that's what
being a more powerful version of it. That's where I think Nintendo kind of already knows that that's going to be the case. I don't know if that's part of the reason why they delayed the Switch 2, but I would not be surprised if there is some partnership stuff working in the background because they. Nintendo and Microsoft have had amicable relationship for like at least the past generation up to this point. So I think we might see some similarities between their upcoming hardware and maybe even some more overlap where they'll get a lot more games that they wouldn't have gotten from third party without having to do cloud streaming and things like that. So I think Nintendo's pretty safe. But yeah, that could always change. Phil could retire, or Sarah Bond could, you know, have a split personality or something.
Imagine she's like scorched earth, baby.
But I don't think that would be the case. But there's always a potential that Microsoft could like stab people in the back. But I don't think they would go that route, just because the pushback from regulators would be so. Well,
they
dramatic.
Wouldn't be able to do anything moving forward. That they would pigeon-toe themselves. And listen, exactly. They want games everywhere. And if they have multiple publishers under their umbrella, certain exclusives will stay exclusive, and certain other games will go that have been on the platform will make it to their way to other platforms, especially. And again, I think a lot of people are forgetting a great way to bring it up, Fuzzy, about the arm that Square Enix has when it comes to the mobile side. Where Xbox is, they went from non-existent, no fingerprint, no thumbprint, all the way to standing shoulder to shoulder with Apple and Google, right? With King. King's a freaking huge monster acquisition, and that moves them right up there. But great stuff from everybody. Let's get Crispy Bomb's hot take on this. Is Square Enix on the sales block for Microsoft? What do you think?
No.
Okay, that's fair.
I say no, because Microsoft is going through a lot of things right now. I just watched it was the Daily Show, and Jon Stewart had Lena Khan on, and they are not focused on Microsoft so much anymore.
No, and that's to Microsoft, Google, Apple, and everyone else. Yeah,
that's after all of this, which we've called out. Okay, and she had, like, he even brought up, Jon Stewart brought up Microsoft, and she had nothing to say. She's worried about Apple, Google, all these other companies that are doing things. And the one thing that I think is to Microsoft benefit is that they've partnered with many outside sources, LG, Samsung. They have done things that maybe most American companies wouldn't do, but it's two companies that, I mean, Samsung, let's be honest, like Samsung absolutely trashes Sony TVs right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
It they do. And Sony, I mean, back when I was growing up, was the end all be all. And I think what they're looking at is, like, let's not piss off anybody else, especially, you know, Microsoft's an American company. Let's let her focus on somebody else. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I feel it's starting to happen. Square is, I mean, we're not talking about the new guard that they have. We're talking about the old guard. The old guard is, all we care about is PlayStation. They've even thrown Nintendo to the side, even though Nintendo developed and helped develop many of their original games. So let's be honest here. Like, where are they going? That's up to them. I mean, we could speculate. We thought Sega was going to be bought out by Microsoft a long time ago. There's something else there. I'm just saying, like, the partnerships, I think, are more important than just saying, hey, we're going to purchase you. Because,
I mean, that's especially
save costs. You save costs as well. Like, you don't have to run those teams and stuff like that. So it's. Anyway,
I mean, Sega has dropped many games. Yakuza series has, I mean, I've seen people be like, this is the greatest thing ever. You know what I mean? And all they did was subscribe to Game Pass. I mean, it makes sense, because Microsoft has a different realm to go into, but Square has been like, they don't even release things on PC anymore. I mean, come on.
That's due to Sony closing the walled garden situation, which is why if they were purchased by Xbox, that wouldn't happen. And to buy out the other contracts, like Fuzzy was saying, is something they actually could do. Would they do it? You know, I don't know. They could.
But let's be honest here, Boom. Let's think about this. The amount of flack that Microsoft got with Call of Duty. Okay. Third developer, they do whatever they want. All right. Imagine having one that has Sony in their realm. That's all they do. And then Microsoft says, no, we're going to buy you just so this doesn't happen anymore. I think that would be a problem to regulators. It's hard to think about, but I feel like at this point, and this could be Japanese, this could be US regulators, it could be all of the above. Okay. What I'm saying is I don't feel that anytime soon Microsoft will be even willing to put that out in the court system and everything else within whatever country they're trying to purchase that said entity. I don't think it's logical. I think they are super happy that they have Activision in their sights. Like I said, it was only like 4 or 5 days ago. She was on Jon Stewart on The Daily Show, and she was not focused about Microsoft. She's more worried about the actual things, you know, what we're worried about in money and stuff like that. What we're worried about in entities like Apple, who has like 50% of the market. Okay. We're worried about those things because they do what the hell they want until somebody calls them out.
Apple, Amazon,
and I Google. Feel like yeah. Microsoft may want to go like into the mobile space at some point. Again, they had the Windows Phone at some point. They bought Nokia. A lot of people forget this stuff, but they can go into the mobile space in a different way, and that is gaming. And they don't want to anger nobody doing it. And that comes down to, hey, we have King now, we have Candy Crush, we have all these things. And all of us hardcore gamers would be like, I don't play Candy Crush. I don't know what the hell that's even about. But the fact is a lot more people know about it than you do. And that's something that we don't understand, but let's be logical here. Not every game is for every gamer.
Yep. Say that all the time. No, listen, there's great points all around. I like the pushback. I mean, again, I think Crispy's definitely onto something. They don't want to anger. They certainly don't want to get into the crosshairs, if you will, of regulators. Because you got to remember, again, this is speculation, folks. They're still on the hunt for other developers. Like Crystal Dynamics, you know, did they work out a deal with Embracer? Because, you know, Embracer kind of closed the doors. We're not getting rid of anybody else. But they never said that. They had, you know, that Crystal Dynamics didn't move, right? Maybe that's being held off to an announcement in June. The other studio that was sold for peanuts could potentially
Eidos Montreal.
Eidos Montreal could eventually come over to Xbox. They are both of those studios are working on two massive single player games in Fable and Perfect Dark. So it's definitely possible. And, you know, you never know. I mean, obviously, IO Interactive is still out there. Asobo is still out there. There is a lot that they could purchase. And you know what? Maybe a publisher isn't the right move at this point. But listen, again, it was a great tweet by Kareem. Listen, we are normally this is like a 90-minute show, and I really don't want to go over because obviously we have a big panel. Now, obviously, you saw the headline about the new Call of Duty coming that's going to be announced at the showcase. What I'm going to do, folks, is I'm going to move that over to tomorrow's show because not only will a Crazy Louie be making his debut, he's now going to be a permanent panel member on the Xbox Factor podcast. We do have Jamie Moran joining us tomorrow as well. So I'm going to move that topic over. I'll change the headline on YouTube. I do want to catch up on Super Chats, and I want to get everyone out of here on time because I do have an appointment at 2, so I can't kind of hang out and do the extra. And of course, I want to get out before the vampires get out here. I don't know if I should go strapped or not. This is going to be ridiculous when the sun goes black, but let me catch up on Super Chats. Highlander 001, generous friend of the program. What's going on, Highlander? I salute you, brother. He drops a very generous $5 Super Chat and says, the next Call of Duty will be out in October. with the same version on all consoles or all systems for the first time in 25 years. The only difference, it will be in Game Pass. Yeah, listen, we're going to talk about that tomorrow in great depth because I do not think people understand how big of a deal is. And again, this is a bit of a caveat. We saw it was announced. Do you know the best place to play that has that is the number one place to play Diablo 4? That's right. That is Xbox. Now, granted, people are trying to poo-poo it. Oh, boom, it's because of Game Pass. Exactly. It is because of Game Pass, because of a service that they dropped a AAA monster game into. Now is the biggest place to play that game. Is it a big deal? Yes, it is, because what you're going to see is that is going to be the standard moving forward. Folks, just think about it for a second. Call of Duty, even some of the worst ones, are always the best-selling game. Just imagine this year, the marketing is full controlled or fully controlled by Xbox. That is going to be a ridiculous deal. Again, we'll go into more detail on tomorrow's Xbox Factor podcast at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Bounty, who's been a channel member for 34 months. Dude, that is very generous of you. Thank you for the outstanding support. He says, when will devs learn? PlayStation is a casual box. It's about 10 million hardcore on PlayStation and about the same on Xbox, but Xbox is on PC, so many more people play their games. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Listen, Sony's hold on the industry is starting to, their grasp is starting to loosen, and you're starting to see that. Publishers are no longer going to get roped into these exclusivity deals because ultimately, when the games are not being bought by their players, they're getting stuck holding the bag. And that's exactly what happened to Square Enix, which is why they are in trouble. Quick gameplay drops an additional, not one, but two, $2 super chats and says Microsoft will want to buy them $8 billion USD. Yeah, $8 billion, it's in the couch cushion of Phil's office, right? You know what I mean? it would be not a really big buy. Drops an additional $2 super chat and says Microsoft keeps games everywhere. FTC will agree. I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, again, Lena Khan, her focus now is on Apple, it's on Google, and it's on Amazon. And I think you're going to see very soon that this case with the ridiculousness of this case with the FTC being the only entity in the entire freaking planet that has a problem with ABK is just going to get dropped because they don't have a case. They know it, which is why her focus has changed. And lastly, Adidas 20 drops an additional very generous $5 super chat and says, Gamsley, Microsoft will not have to go through regulators to buy Sega or Square. I think that they would. I mean, they're both publishers. They're both pretty big. In order not to get regulatory eyes, Fuzzy, correct me if I'm wrong here. I think it's under, is it under 200 100. Million or is it 100 million?
It's under 100 million to not have to worry about regulators' eyes. Needs to be a private-owned company as well. Regulators would still be involved. It's just that it's you don't have, like, I know a lot of people are saying buying a publisher in Japan is hard to do. That's not always the case. Plus, they already own a publisher in that region, so it would be a little bit easier process as far as to make sure that, you know, the employees and such are taken care of.
Yep.
But regulators would still look at it. But given how much they went through with ABK, it would be less of a it'd almost be like an easy pass thing. It's almost like the first time they have you take your shoes off and take your belt off and stuff. This time it's like, just go. Just raise your hands up. Go through the detector and you're good type of thing.
Well, again, rumor, but a fun conversation nonetheless. Hopefully you enjoyed it enough to hit the like button. Let's get to the outros and get everyone out here. Kareem, Jovian, brother, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to hang out. We definitely got to get you back. Obviously, the big showcase is coming in June. Lots of chatter. And if you want to know why we didn't speak about it, folks, it's because I'm writing the show this Wednesday for Primetime Gaming, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We got Hargeet. We got Kay Asante. We got the Black Viking joining us. And we might get one other. And we're solely going to talk about the showcase coming in June, which I will have boots on the ground in LA for the festivities. Cannot wait to catch up with everyone there. Jovian, by all means, brother, sell your brand. Tell everyone where they can follow you on social media. And more importantly, check you out on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube. You got a lot going on, brother. Talk about it. Sell the brand.
Yeah. My name is Kareem Jovian on every platform. You could find me. I'm there creating content on all platforms. If you want to follow me, that'd be great. And definitely on X, I'm more gaming centric because it's I just love it. I enjoy the talk about it. I enjoy the lore and the whole world behind it. So if you guys want to follow me for just regular interviews that are not gaming based, you could follow me on TikTok and YouTube and Facebook. And I do have a gaming channel on YouTube. It's not really up there yet, but I'm looking forward to having more content on that this year soon. So I'm really excited about that. Thank you for having me, by the way. And it was a pleasure sharing this stage, the panel with you guys.
Brother, it was great to have you here. And obviously, we'll have all of your clickable information in the show notes. So if you want to find Jovian and you want to click where he is, everything will be there where you can subscribe and check out his work. Because it wasn't just gaming he does. There's a lot of really, really cool interviews. They're funny. They're very off the cuff. Love the work that he does. Definitely thank you so much, Kareem, for being here today. We definitely got to get you back. Fuzzy Belvedere, let's sell your brand, kind sir. Where could people find your YouTube channel, which of course is the best place for anything and everything in the racing genre? And yes, he breaks hearts because, man, I need a new Forza Horizon 5. Is amazing, continues to grow. But I need that Forza Horizon 6 in Japan with all of the neon. I want to race around Tokyo, goddammit. And hopefully that's coming sooner than later. Fuzzy, sell the brand of your YouTube channel. And more importantly, what else you got going on? And where can people follow you on social media?
As always, thank you for having me on. Always a pleasure being on here with you guys. Always great when we have a special guest like Kareem. Enjoy your takes. Enjoy your posts, especially the ones when you're doing Starfield on X and stuff like that. Always thank love you, to see it. For those that want to hear my rambles and rants on anything gaming related, just follow me on the app formerly known as Twitter at @Fuzzy_Belvedere. You can also search for my name on YouTube. Just search Fuzzy Belvedere as one word. You can also find me on FSP later on tonight on Fun Speculations channel at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And before that, I'm going to be doing a special guest appearance on the Gamers Circle Gamers Circle on Kasante's channel later on tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just follow me on Twitter. You'll get the postings for when I'll appear. And then hope to see you guys back here on Friday morning for Breakfast with Boom, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Look forward to seeing you guys there. Thanks again.
Thank you, brother. And Gamsley, let's sell your brand, brother. You got a lot going on, not only on your YouTube channel, but your work with Asa and Deadly Headley on a newer podcast. I want people to check that out as well. Sell the brand, kind sir. Where can people check, subscribe, and more importantly, follow you on social media?
Perfect. Before I do that, I'm going to thank you again, Boom. Crispy, always a pleasure hearing you and sharing the stage with you. You too, you beautiful bald head. I love you so much. You and Boom, Fuzzy, you know what I'm talking about. And Kareem, your beautiful hair, I want it. I want it all. It's nice to hear your takes, brother. It was awesome sharing the stage as well, and I hope we can talk later on. Yeah, you can find me on Gamsley, at GamsleyTKD on X, and obviously on Gaming Arcadia YouTube channel, where I co-host with Game On Asa and Deadly Headley on the Xbox Series podcast. We're on our 11th episode this week, every Thursday, 3 p.m. Eastern time. So check us out here, and obviously here every lunch with Boom.
That's appreciate that very much. Yes, thank you so much, dude.
Kareem's so pretty, isn't he? He's a pretty guy.
That's a handsome man, right there.
I'm gonna leave that there.
I'm very short, though. I'm very short. So.
same, brother. Same. I'm so short.
It is what it is.
Oh my goodness!
Shout out.
Well, listen. So far, so good. Let's get Crispy Bomb out here. Crispy, by all means, brother, sell the brand. Where can people follow you on social media to get that hashtag Crispy Truth? And what else you got going on, dude?
nothing much else. Gonna go watch an eclipse very soon, so just keep in mind, eclipse is coming. At Christopherbaum on X, not Twitter. I wish it was Twitter still, to be honest. Christopherbaum 28 Xbox Live. You can find me on Brexit Boom, usually, not this week, but Brexit Boom, Fridays 10 a.m. We'll nice. See you when I see you.
Yep, absolutely. We're world folks. We're gonna have a great show on Saturday. I'm gonna see if we can get Ham Solo and Loke 7 to join us this Friday. We have to have that pair on once again. But listen, again, big thank you to all of the super chats that came in, and of course the new and old channel members. They do allow for us to do these monster giveaways. We did one for Easter. We have a ginormous amount of giveaways coming towards the end of the year. The first one is going to be in September. We're giving away 15 copies of Stalker 2, you know, and we're doing it the mom and pop way. We're supporting the devs, and we're buying those 15 copies at full price. And you, my fine friends, could win one. All you got to do is show up to the live stream that we're going to do. It's going to be a launch party for that game. And the first 8 are going to go towards, of course, channel members and anyone that's in the chat. But we are changing the rules a bit. My wife and I, when Mrs. Boomstick used to be like, anybody could win. You show up, you win, you get picked. That's it. We're not doing that anymore. Where we're going to do it is, if you're not subscribed, you're not going to be considered. And I think that's very fair. We are trying to grow the channel. We're doing it organically. We're doing it the mom and pop way. We're not using hate mongering and clickbaitery to get you in here to subscribe and like. We don't use negativity to drive subs. We do it the right way. We have fun. The topics are well researched, and we do give away more than anybody on the internet. Honestly, we are self-funded. We're not, you know, no corporations, you know, filling the coffers. You find folks, thanks to your generosity, allow us to do these big giveaways. And we're doing giveaways bigger than people that have, you know, 100,000 subscribers. And that's not a jab at anybody. It's just that we want to give back. And we are no longer going to give back to people that are not giving back to us. So if you're not subscribed, you're not going to win. And I think that is being very fair. Subscribing to the channel doesn't cost you anything. Maybe your pride, because you don't want to give credit where credit is due. That's fine. But you will no longer be considered. If you're subscribed, you'll have a chance to win one of the second half prizes. First round of prizes will continue to go to channel members because they're supporting the channel and they're allowing us to do the giveaways. With all of that said, folks, I'm going to close out today's show with something that's incredibly important to me. Hopefully one day it'll be important to you. And that's something that my dad taught us when we were kids. And he would say, Craig, treat others how you want to be treated. And also, it doesn't cost anything to be nice. You live by those rules, son. I can guarantee you, you're going to have an awesome day. So take care, everyone. And we'll see you next week on the newest episode of the Xbox Lunch Break Special.